Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, church, for tuning in. Thank you for sending the selfies of your family to us. Send it to Pastor. Let him know that you're watching. Don't send a fake one either. Make sure it's real and make sure you're watching. We're going to quiz you, and we're going to send out a quiz for tonight's message. And if the family that gets it all right, you get a prize. Say, what's the prize? You get free oxygen in your house, okay? So you'll get that. 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to thank you, church. We miss you. We miss seeing you, miss meeting. It's different coming in here to church and not shaking hands and not patting the men on the back and shaking your hand, Brother Montgomery, giving, well, he kind of hugs me. I just kind of cringe. Okay, just like that. I'm kidding. And look at that. They're calling me right now. Shame on you, Frank. Call out right there. But it's great to have technology where we can come and I'm going to go ahead and take out my phone here because more people are calling. I'm going to take off my watch. I shouldn't have advertised that. So anyhow, I can see the clock right up there. Thank you for watching. Thank the Lord for technology where we can't meet physically, but we can meet every day. We can go on. We don't say this much, but you can go and get updates. Please go on the website. Please go on YouTube and look at the updates. And just to let you know, Pastor and the staff, we have been praying for you all. We love you and we miss seeing you. And it's good to have pictures of you and your family. Send pictures and to us and let us know that you're in service. I had a picture from my sister text us. I said, make sure you live stream Haran. And she said, yeah, we had a whole service. Afterwards, everybody sat down and listened. Afterwards, my husband had a quiet seat prize. He said, quiet seat prize of money. And then they had to take notes. And my sister said, whatever questions they asked, Brother Dara asked, and if they got it right, he was handing out money. Parents, if you need to do that to help your kids, do that. And just ask Brother Pichardo for money, and he'll give that to you. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. If you have your Bibles, the Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange things happen unto you. But rejoice in as much as you be partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." In John chapter 16 and verse 33, if you have notes there, if you go to our website, you can download it, you can view it, the notes are on there. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Certainly you would agree that life is full of trials and tribulations. Right now you can see that our country is going through something right now that is a little bit hard. And our church, I talked to my wife the other day, I said, "Man, I've been on this earth for 44 years, and I do not remember ever this happening. I know we've had the swine flu, and we've had H1N1, and we had all these things, but I just don't remember this. I don't ever remember our country going through this." And we're doing the best we can to, we're having a good time at home. I just bought a couple of things, board games and stuff, so the kids can have some time, sketch little poster board so they can draw and some schooling for them. But we are making the best time. But needless to say, some of our families, and especially our country, I mean, if you look at YouTube, there's people that don't care, and then there's people that are just like, the world's going to end. You know, we're all going to die. And let me say this, God's still in control. God's still in control. But life is full of trials and tribulations financially, employment, health, as we're facing right now, family. Some of these trials and some of the tribulations, matter of fact, are self-inflicted. So what does that mean? That means financially maybe you're in a trial, and that's because we use something called the credit card too much. And we charge. And those trials in our life, and we're having financial difficulties because they're self-inflicted. Employment. I got fired because I didn't go to work. Well, you probably deserve to get fired. My boss expects me to work while I'm here. I was talking to somebody over lunch, and they said, "Man, I can't believe my boss expects me to work." I'm like, "What?" Isn't that what you're there to do? Well, you know, we should get this, that, and the other. I'm like, well, the Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. You're there to work. You're not there to witness to people. You're not there to, you know, do whatever you, unless your boss lets you, but you're there to work. Some of these trials are self-inflicted. Some of them are God's punishing us. God's chastising us. The chastening of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. For a Christian to know what is right and do not do it. By the way, the Bible calls it sin. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doth not do it, to him it is sin. Some trials come because God's trying to get our attention. By the way, I don't want those trials to come in my life. And God is a loving God, and he's there for you, and he wants to you to go the right way. And some of those trials in your life, some of us need to wake up and smell the coffee of you and say, man, what am I doing in my life that's causing these trials? By the way, America, let me say this. It's hitting us in the face right now. The Bible says we've got to get down on our knees and humble ourselves and pray and seek God. Some of us right now during this trial in our country are seeking more Netflix and seeking more entertainment than we are God. How much time have we spent in prayer? How much time have we said, God, what is it that I can do personally in my life that can call that can help? Don't look at everybody else. Look at ourselves. Some trials come to obedient Christians. Just a way of testing and strengthening us. I think of Job. Job, the Bible says, was a perfect man. He was a mature man. He was a man that loved God. He was a man that just firm with God. You would probably say, call him the best Christian during that time. He was a godly man. And I could just picture the news of as he was there, one servant comes and tells him about all his wealth is gone, and another one comes and tells him his property is gone, and another one comes and tells him his children have died, one right after the other. As soon as that guy comes out of his breath, another guy comes, another guy, and the tragedy. But Job said, though he slay me, yet I'll trust in him. Job is a man that went through trials, but God made him a better person. He became a better person because of the testing in his life. Let me say this. No one is exempt from trials. No one is exempt from troubles. No one is exempt from heartache. It doesn't matter if you're the best Christian in the world, the most excellent in the world, you're going to have trials. You might, somebody once said, just come out of a storm, getting into a storm, or in a storm right now. No one is exempt of trials. By the way, church, how are we handling these trials in our life? What's going on right now? Are we seeking God? Are we humbling ourselves? What are we doing? How are we handling this? Are we handling it with faith? Or are we handling it with fear? I'm just going to give you three observations here, what the Bible teaches about trials. And I hope it helps you. Now let's pray together. Father, we pray, Lord, you help this time. Help us, Lord, as we dive into your word regarding trials. Help us to examine ourselves and be the best Christians we can, Lord, because of what's going on in our lives right now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Bible predicts trials. Number one, that the Bible predicts trials. Trials will come. We read in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 to 19, trials will come. 2 Timothy 3, 12, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Peter 2, 12, we suffer. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And if we deny him, he also will deny us. Trials will come. That's a given. How are we reacting to the trials? The Bible predicts it. We're not exempt. We're not, you know, I'm a super Christian. I love God. I'm going to pray 24 hours a day. Trials will still come. It's not a secret. They will come. And the Bible, number two, tells us the purpose of these trials. The Bible tells us the purpose in trials. Number one, letter A, trials stir. Trials stir. The first thing there that stirred the church. With every trial, the Bible says, in the church, corporately, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, as Saul, he made havoc on the church, entered into the house, and healing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. trials in a church stirs the church. Trials in the church causes a new Christian, a new church, to scatter and preach the gospel everywhere. By the way, all these things that are happening to us right now, I hope the light of Jesus shines. I heard somebody once said that the darker the night, the brighter the light. During this dark time in our community, our neighbors maybe know that they have no hope, and they think the world's going to end, and they think, man, we're all going to die. I hope you, as a Christian, as a light that can witness to them during this time. During trials, the church prospered. During trials, the church grew. Trials didn't stop the church. Trials made the church stronger. Let me say this, church, you ought to be stronger right now. Trials stirred the church. Not only that, a trial stirs the individual. Is God stirring you? Is God doing something in your life? Maybe because of this trial in our country right now, we've got on our knees and prayed more. I mean, let's look at the silver lining here. Some of you probably hadn't eaten with your children, your family. You're at home now. I went home today. My wife had a nice spread. We had, in Khmer, we call it baimon. Say, what's baimon? It's the rice is cooked with chicken stock. And you boil the chicken till it's really tender. And then you have some sweet sauce on there. And you put that on there. And I had some stock left. So I told my wife, what are you doing with the stock? I said, we're going to throw it away. I said, no, we're not. I'm going to make some soup. Made me some sweet and sour Khmer soup with basil and green onions in there, and some chicken. We had a leftover chicken, leftovers, I guess, chicken stock. Where she made the stocks from that had bone and the cartilage and everything. I threw that in there, and I said, look, we're thrifty now. I mean, you know, we don't have any food. The grocery stores, everything's gone, right? I went to the grocery store today. Everything was all stocked. We went there, and we tried to be thrifty and everything. I said, well, now we got soup, and we got baimon. We got the chicken stock rice. Enjoyed it. I didn't lick my fingers. I don't want to practice good hygiene. We had a great time. We sat there. And my wife, she's been working from home, and I got home. Usually, whoever gets home first would cook dinner, and I would be the one cooking dinner a lot. But my wife said, man, it feels good to be back on routine where I can cook dinner and lunch. And you got to look at the silver lining. God uses these trials not only to stir the church, but it stirs the individual. Boy, I think of Ron Hamilton. Ron Hamilton, I read a bio on him the other day, and just all the things he's gone through and what happened to him and what that tragedy of his eye cancer, how he used that and God inspired him. And instead of boo-hooing, he became the great Patch the Pirate. Yeah. Trials should stir us. One of my favorite songs is It Is Well With My Soul. And you have to do some research on that song. As the writer writes, he was sending his family out to Europe. And during that time, a storm, he was going to go a couple of days later, I believe, a storm happened and the ship went down. His daughters perished in that storm. And some rescue ships came and saw a lady on the floating on the driftwood there and picked her up. And she got to Europe and sent a memo back to her husband, said she's the only one alive. What a man that went by and as they were in that area, and God inspired him to write that song, It Is Well With My Soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. In the chorus, it is well with my soul. I hope God is stirring you today, church. I hope God is stirring you as an individual to say, man, whatever goes on, it's well with my soul. It's well with my soul. Job 23 and verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. During this trial here, the church, we could come forth as gold. You individually here watching, you can come forth as gold. Trials not only stir us, let it be. Trials strengthen us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. And the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and glory and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God's going to strengthen you during the trial. By the way, God uses trials to give us strength. 2 Peter chapter 12 and verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproach, necessity, persecution, distress, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. There's different times we feel weak. When we go to God, we get off our knees and say, wow, God, thank you for giving me strength. You know why we're weak right now, some of us, and you know why we're fretting, and you know why we have no faith? Because we're trusting in ourselves, and we're trusting on other people, and we're trusting, we need trust in God. Those trials can strengthen us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace hereto hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye had suffered a while, make you perfect. The Bible says his strength will settle in you. Let God say, pray and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, strengthen me during this time. Strengthen my family. Strengthen my faith. By the way, let's say this. Faith will always cancel out fear. Amen. Faith will always cancel out fear. I think of the three Hebrew children. Boy, the king said, hey guys, you hear this trumpet, you hear everything, you bow down and worship. The three Hebrew children didn't do it. Called them in and said, hey, you're going to do it. Says, we're not going to do it because God's going to save us. God's going to save us. But here's the kind of asterisk. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down. The Bible says the king was furious. Like fire on his head. Pumped that furnace up 10 times hotter. The Bible says the furnace was so hot that even they're bound, their arms. The servants that threw them in perished and burned to death because of that. Threw them in. While they're in there, they're walking around. The king was like, what in the world? This is my version. What in the world? He woke. I threw in three. I see four. What's going on? They were strengthened during the trials. The Bible tells us of the purpose of trial to stir us and to strengthen us. The Bible also promises has promises for those trials. I thank God he has a promise for those trials. Let me say this, church. God hears our prayer. Amen. The Bible says, 1 Peter 1:7, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. The Bible says, Psalm chapter 34 and verse 17, the Bible says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. I want to encourage you, give your fears and anxieties to God. When these are the trials that we're going through right now, give it to God. We trusted him for our salvation, church. I remember the day I got saved. It was 1991. I was at a Christian camp. And I remember the pastor preached. And I went to church all my life. The pastor preached. And they asked the question, if you are a Christian, raise your hand. My hand went up. And he said, if you die today and you're sure you're going to go to heaven, raise your hand. I guess those are one and the same question, but I didn't know that. I didn't know where I was going to go to die. As long as I do good and bad, you know, went to a Baptist church, Southern Baptist church. Put that disclaimer there. I didn't walk the aisle. Afterwards, everybody left. The preacher and the counselors were still up at the platform. I walked over there. I said, hey, can you guys show me how to go to heaven when I die? And I was in the back room. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior that day, 1991, July 5th. Amen. Trusted to Jesus Christ. I trusted him as my Savior. And you have a similar story where you trusted Christ. And we put our whole destiny, our whole eternity, on what the finished work of what Christ did on the cross. Them in that. Don't you think if he has the power to save us from hell, he has the power to deliver us through these trials that we have right now? Why won't we trust the Lord in the little things right now compared to salvation? Let the Lord have your burden. There's a story in the old Western day of a man walking down the road carrying a bag of grain on his shoulder. Another man was riding along the road, a wagon pulled by a horse. He came up beside the man carrying the grain and said, "Jump in the wagon with me. It's too hot to walk in this sun today." The man said, "Thank you, sir," and got into the wagon, sat down with the bag of grain still on his shoulder. A while later, the driver said, "Hey, man, that looks heavy. Why don't you put that heavy bag down and just relax?" The passenger said, "Oh, no, no. It's enough that you allowed me to ride. I wouldn't ask you to carry my load also." God saved us. Why don't we just ask him to carry our burdens also? God hears our prayers. Church, I want to encourage you. You feel some anxiety and fear? Have faith in God. Go to him in prayer. Trust, praying and trusting that God will deliver you. Not only God will hear you during this time, God will deliver you. God will deliver you. Psalm chapter 37, 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." By the way, it's here to pass. This trial here in our church is here to pass. It's going to go away. God will deliver you. I think of Paul and Silas as they were in that prison praying and singing praises unto God. Earthquake came and delivered them. When we go to camp, one of the songs we like to sing, "Yes, he'll deliver me in my time of need. Like the Hebrew children from the flame he freed. He fed 5,000 with two fishes and bread. And he walked on the water and he raised the dead." And we sing that. Some of you know the song. You probably sang it with me. Thank you, because it probably sound bad me singing myself. But we sing it, but do we believe God on it? He'll deliver us. Let us see, God's grace is sufficient. God's there. He's sufficient. Paul besought the Lord 3 times. "Take this thing away." God said, "No, my grace is sufficient." 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, in the power of Christ that may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in necessity, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Church, I want to encourage you during this time. Trials there. They're there. Some of us are getting a little, we're anxious. We're a little bit fearful. I want to encourage you. Number one, our church is praying for you. Number two, get on your knees, pray and trust God. Remember, faith always cancels out fear. I remember we had a little poem up in our house, and I didn't understand that poem much, but I understand now. The poem is called "One Set of Footprints." And I don't know who wrote it. I don't know. I don't even remember where it came from. I don't know if it's an independent Baptist or what. I highly doubt it. But it talked about a person during the good times in life. There was always 2 set of footprints on the sand. As they were walking on that beach, it's always 2 prints when everything was going right. And then all of a sudden, when the rough storm comes and the trials came, and the anxiety came and the fear came, there was only 1 set of footprints. The person spoke to God and said, "God, I don't understand. Why is it that anytime the good times are here, there's 2 set of footprints? And then during the bad times and the trials and the fears in my life that come, how come you leave me? Why is there only 1 set of footprints?" And the poem says, God says back to the Christian, he said, "I love you and I care for you," something along those lines. He said, "See, during the rough times in your life, there's 1 set of footprints, not because I left you. It's then I was carrying you." Amen. In church, God is carrying us. During this time, God's carrying us and God is there to help us. He's there all the time. He's there all the time. Waiting patiently in line, he's there all the time. He's just right there. Let's go to him. Perhaps the greatest promise that we can have right now is this. John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, Christ says. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you'll be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way that ye know, Christ is there. Christ is preparing for us a place. And Christ says he's here with us. The Holy Spirit's there to comfort you and guide you. I want to encourage you, church. Some of us, to be honest with you, we're a little scared. Faith always cancels out fear. And I hope we trust in God right now. And as this trial that soon will pass, we can look back and say, boy, I've grown. My family has grown. My faith has grown. Church, my witness has grown. I pray, and I pray dearly that during this trial that our church will get closer to God. Church, we love you, and we pray for you, and we look forward to more services with you. And if you need anything, do call us and let us know. Get our pastor back up here.